There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Hello, America. Welcome to College Football Live. I'm your host, Marty Smith, with Emmanuel Acho and Jonathan Vilma, and we are on fire. We begin today with the transfer portal. Someday that's going to be our band name, transfer portal. Every coach in the country right now is seeking the criteria for player eligibility. Each one of them has an opinion, some more finite than others. Here's Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh.
My opinion is that every student athlete should have a one-time ability to transfer and not have to sit out a year. And then if they were to transfer a second time, then the previous rule that we had where you had to sit out a year of eligibility. And with that, I would also keep the graduate transfer rule that we have in place right now where you can graduate and transfer and become immediately eligible.
Here are some of the notable transfers this season, all of whom happen to be quarterbacks. Justin Fields, Brandon Wimbush, and Tate Martell all have new homes and immediate eligibility. Same goes for grad transfers Jalen Hurts and Kelly Bryant. So, gentlemen, I ask you, what is the broad scope impact of the transfer portal right now in college football?
I think first and foremost, shout out to Harbaugh for giving me something I can agree with. Okay, give the player that 1 year pass, JV, because my two cents is it's so hard to decipher between, well, are we going to allow this player the waiver to play right away? Or are we going to have to make this player sit? I think allow these players the freedom to transfer one time with no penalty because, look, we've been letting coaches do it for the last decade and change. So why not let the players do it?
My question is, why only one time with no penalty? Why can't they just do it every time? If a coach gets fired and go to another school or they get a promotion. So the point I'm making is this is slowly becoming big time business.
Sure.
And we're doing it in steps. The NFL has already been established. College football taking these little baby steps here and there to basically show us this is big time business. That's what it is. This is what college football is. So why are we beating around the bush with it and tiptoeing around it? Let these guys go ahead and transfer the way they need to their employees now.
So you feel like it's basically turning into free agency. I mean, that's the way it feels.
It is. Here's
what's so confusing and perplexing to me. It's how arbitrary it all seems.
Yes.
Why this player is eligible immediately, why this one isn't. The one that gets me is Luke Ford. This young man leaves Georgia, goes home to Illinois to be near his ailing grandparents, and he is disallowed because his hometown is 190 miles from Champaign instead of the required 100.
Well,
he actually seems to have a legitimate reason.
The problem is that there's no one governing the NCAA. That's what the issue is, because if there was someone governing the NCAA, they would say, hey, look, what are your parameters? What is the finite black and white? You're eligible, you can play. You're not eligible, you can't play. Tell us. Nobody knows, and that's the issue we have.
And that's the point, JV. Y'all are both hitting the nail on the head. Rather than making it ambiguous, just make it clear cut. Because again, when it all comes down to it, we're trying to figure out exactly where to draw the line. Let's remove the line altogether. Football, college football is big time business. Call the spade a spade.
That's right.
We gotta keep trying to quit acting as if it's amateur. It's big time ball. It's big time business. This is just the next step to making it big time.
We're all employed for a reason. It's because those young men are performing on that football field. Guys, one big reason that these guys are transferring right now are these utterly ridiculous facilities that so many Power 5 programs have.
That I didn't have.
You didn't have it?
It was
Did
a
you
sweatshop.
Have it?
Stop aging yourself,
James. Your alma mater might have the nicest locker room in the country right now. Look, we all know about Dabo's slide down in Clemson, South Carolina, and the unbelievable facilities that Clemson had. Now it's time to add LSU to the list. Look at this. LSU's brand new, just shown yesterday for the first time, facilities
Marty,
down in Baton Rouge.
Marty, it's making them soft. It's making them soft. It's ridiculous. Look at that.
They got beds in there.
I'm just so jealous. I didn't have any of that. I'm just jealous. That is beautiful. Look at that.
It is stunning. And the LSU facility is, in fact, the result of private donations, guys, including from some former players like Tyrann Mathieu and Patrick Peterson. Now, I ask you, what is the impact on recruiting? When you're a big-time player out of high school, all right, and there are haves and have-nots when it comes to player amenities, how does that impact your decision?
Well, first, let me say that it's changed. The landscape of
you didn't have that
now.
In Coral Gables.
Well, no, we didn't have that. We didn't have any of that. But what has changed is that when I played or when I grew up, I had a loyalty to UM because I watched them and I wanted to play for UM. Forget the facilities, forget anything. It was the school and what the school represented. Now the players are so good that they don't have an affinity towards certain programs. They go to where it's the nicest, it's the prettiest, the best coaching, etc. How many NFL players are coming out of that school? So it means a lot to have these new facilities and to showcase it the way that they did, to put it out there on social media.
Look at this. There's Clemson right here, okay? They have – not only do they have napping pods, I mean, some of – look at this. They have a golf simulator. They have bowling. They have ping pong. By the way, I played Herb Street in ping pong during their spring game. He is like the most annoying ping pong player. He's like a backstop. He just sits there and he wills you into a mistake. Here's Dabo slide. I mean, it's crazy.
I'm going to be straight with you, Marty. It definitely makes a difference. When I was making my college recruitment decision, I first and foremost was thinking, JV, and you know, don't judge me. I was going off uniforms and how swaggy the uniforms look. That's why I had Auburn on my list. I had Oregon on my list.
Texas uniforms are horrible.
But I'm from Austin. I'm from Dallas, rather, so I had to make the decision.
I actually think they're pretty dope.
You're definitely. It definitely plays a factor when you're talking about young, impressionable 16, 17, and 18-year-old minds. It plays a factor.
One school that has ridiculous and wonderfully historic facilities is Notre Dame. Over the weekend, the Liverpool Soccer Club played a friendly at Notre Dame Stadium. Take a listen to what their head coach, Jurgen Klopp, had to say about their experience in South Bend.
Notre Dame is a wow. Very impressive. We saw a little bit. So between the sessions, we went around. We saw the different gyms. We saw the different indoor facilities. It's a dream. In Europe, we always think we are pretty good in different things, like and especially in soccer or European football. It's we're getting better, but no club in the world has facilities like the University of Notre Dame. That's just not possible.
How much did they pay him? How much did they pay him for that free marketing, that free advertisement right there?
Smart man.
Oh, man.
He wants to come back and play again, and he's right. That place is special. Not only are the facilities fantastic, but you go on campus and touch down Jesus in the Golden Dome, and just the air, it's wonderful. Look, speaking of Notre Dame, let's talk Irish, fellas. Brian Kelly has 81 wins on the field at Notre Dame. He wins 8 games a year for the next 3 seasons. He ties Newt Rockne atop the all-time list in South Bend. That is remarkable. Last season, of course, the Irish make a run to the college football playoff. They get beaten by Clemson in the Cotton Bowl. But when they make the playoff, it creates a bit of a conundrum. It eliminates a Power 5 conference from putting another team in. So I ask you, what is the impact when Notre Dame makes the playoff?
Well, I think you can't throw any shade at Notre Dame because specifically last year, they earned it.
They did.
You ask what the impact is. Yes, it does cost a Power 5 team a chance at the playoff, but who the heck cares when you're Notre Dame and you're playing teams like Georgia and Michigan, which they have this year, and you handle your business, you deserve to be in. I can't feel bad for the Big 12s, the Pac-12s, the ACCs, the anybody else whom it may cost. Notre Dame was playing with the big boys early until they saw them boys Clemson, and they deserve the right.
I love it. I love that Notre Dame, as you said, they go and they play the best of the best. They're trying to have the competition. They have 5 teams that they play out of the ACC. So I don't understand the argument that, oh, they don't play a championship game. How many teams have we seen? How many times did Alabama all of a sudden not make the playoff because they lost in the championship game? What about Clemson? How many times did they lose in their championship game and not make the playoff? So that argument is a red herring. There's nothing there. Notre Dame plays a very tough schedule. The fact of the matter is, if they lose once, we're already ready to write them off.
Yes. That's exactly what I was going to follow up.
We're itching to write them off.
Exactly.
We're itching to write them off.
It might almost even be more difficult.
Exactly.
For sure. Yes.
Because since they don't have that conference affiliation and they are an independent, they almost have to win every game or maybe one loss to a big-time program that has an opportunity.
Marty, think about it. Think about last season. We were still trying to figure out a way to have them out and then put the SEC champ and everyone else in, and they were undefeated.
JV, you're exactly right when you say we're waiting for Notre Dame to make an error.
Yeah.
The nation is waiting just so everybody can say, well, they don't play a championship game.
Right.
Who cares? When you play a regular season schedule as tough as theirs has been as of late and you handle all your business, it doesn't matter. More power to Notre Dame.
Yeah. They're fun to watch, and I maintain that there's a new Brian Kelly. He appreciates the opportunity that he has as the head coach of that program more than ever. He told me so last year himself. Coming up, it's the year of the quarterback in college football. Which team most needs its quarterback to be great in 2019?
College Football Live is brought to you by State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM.
Go long, pal. Rah!
Is this where the Immaculate Reception football is? Was running out of bounds ever an option?
No, no, no. Whenever I said we're going to win the game, I guarantee you, I meant it.
Hucknallville, 1920, started the NFL.
Boom!
Quit looking at my chest hair. Look at the play.
Get them white legs up!
I am so jealous of Peyton Manning, I can't even articulate it. 30 episodes of Peyton's Places, available only on ESPN+. Welcome back to College Football Live. Fellas, this is the year of the quarterback nationwide. There is talent from sea to shining sea throughout the college football landscape. So let's discuss these quarterbacks this year. Jonathan, who's the best returning quarterback in college football?
Oh, it's no doubt Jake Fromm from Georgia.
Oh,
wow. Yes, the system that Jake Fromm is playing in is much harder than a lot of the systems that all these other quarterbacks are playing in. And Trevor Lawrence does a phenomenal job. He did a tremendous job in the championship game. But Jake Fromm is learning an NFL-style to have your back to the defense, make the right reads. Look at the fits that he has to put that ball in. It's not easy fits. Those are tight throws, very accurate, and he's gotten better and better and better. And oh, by the way, Justin Fields was there, and he said, bring on the competition. I don't care. I'm going to just keep playing, and I got better.
I hear you. I hear you.
Look, don't forget, Jacob Eason transferred, too.
He did. Mm-hmm. Shame on me for taking the low-hanging fruit. Shame on me.
Yes.
But I'm going with Trevor Lawrence because that man is a dog.
He's good.
This dude was not named the starter until week 5 last year. What that means is all offseason, all summer activities, summer workouts, he wasn't even taking reps with the ones, JV. And he came in there and gave you 30 touchdowns and, what, 4 interceptions as a true freshman? Still wet behind the ears. I mean, come on, coach. What else do you want out of life? Going into a sophomore season, had a whole offseason being the guy, being number one. Chip on his shoulder just because he wants to be even greater is Trevor Lawrence.
And was completely unflappable in a national championship game against that defense at Alabama. Just a tremendous performance. All right, your turn, Acho. Which first-year quarterback at their current school will have the greatest impact?
I'm going with Justin Fields, but it's going to be a negative impact.
Oh.
Justin Fields now, he's used to playing in the South where it's warm out there in Georgia. Now you got to go up to Ohio State. It's going to be chilly. First-year head coach, got a new offensive coordinator. And keep in mind, Trevor Lawrence was one of the top two quarterbacks coming out. Justin Fields, top two quarterback coming out. Everybody knows Trevor Lawrence has been that dude. You don't think Justin Fields wants some of that action? He's not trying to be the Ryan Leaf to Peyton Manning. Let's not get it twisted. Justin Fields wants to beat a man, and I think early on that pressure will make him crumble, but he will be great late.
Wow. Okay.
How about that for analysis?
Yeah, I know. I'm just going all positive here with Jalen Hurts. You know, I like Jalen Hurts. I like the way he played. I watched them when they played in the Georgia game, and I said, man, this guy, this quarterback has now figured out what it is to look down the field, throw the ball down the field. I know we're seeing highlights of him running. He can't get tackled. But this is what I really like right there. It's the touch passes. It's not looking for the check down. It's not settling for the easy 5-yard throw.
Yeah.
He wants to get the ball downfield. That's going to make him elite and a Heisman Trophy candidate.
The fact that
is that a hot take, Marty?
It's legitimate.
I hear you.
Watching the way he played, you said when he came in, stepped in for Tua, did he not play phenomenal when he scrambled, eyes down the field, throwing the ball.
He wrote a movie. He's a different man.
Exactly. He was lethal. He was lethal. He was elite, and he will be a Heisman contender.
And above that, the fact that he stayed at Alabama when he could have been in that transfer situation that we discussed earlier in the show, and he stayed there, and he took his medicine, and he watched and he learned, and when he was called on, he was ready to play and led them to an SEC championship.
Correct.
I just admire that so much.
He's the reason that they were able to get to a college football playoff.
No question.
Can't dispute it.
All right. Which team needs elite quarterback performance in 2019 the most? You're first.
I'm going with Sam Ellinger at Texas, but I'm going with it because of this reason. The defense at Texas lost 9 starters. You lost your defensive linemen. You lost your linebackers. You lost your cornerbacks and Chris Boyd, Devontae Davis. You lost everybody on defense. So you need Ellinger to show up. Had 41 total touchdowns last year with only 5 interceptions, if I'm not mistaken. Can he duplicate it? Plus, remember, they got LSU early on at home, going to need some offense because Colin Johnson's a bad man at receiver, but he can't throw himself the football.
Well, I'm with you on the needing some offense, but I'm going to go with Texas A&M and Kellen Mond. The reason and one reason alone, Alabama and Tua. That's why he needs to play elite, because if they want to get out of the SEC West, they're going to have to face Alabama and they're going to have to beat Alabama. And we all know they can't stop Alabama's offense. So he's going to have to match point for point for point for 4 quarters. And if they don't get elite play from him, they're not making the SEC championship game.
That's he's definitely confident, fellas. He actually told us at SEC Media Days last week he believes he's the best quarterback in the conference.
I love it. And he should believe that.
He has to.
Now just show up.
All right, enough about the individuals. Let's talk system. How much of this nationwide talent is talent, and how much of it is system?
50%. 50% talent, 50% system. It is very easy to tell a quarterback that has a strong arm, pretty accurate, hey, look at only one half of the field, and if you don't have your first read or second read, take off and run. That's very easy because why? You get the easy stats, right? You get some rushing yards. If it's right there, you dink and dunk, and then every now and then you go over the top. But that is not how quarterbacks are supposed to be taught. They're doing these quarterbacks a disservice by not letting them read the field, by not having them do play action, suck in the safety, suck in the linebacker, then turn around and in a split second read the coverage and make the right throw. That's the way it's supposed to be. A lot of these quarterbacks are benefiting from the system.
Yes and no, JV. Yes and no. Because let's talk about
Is it yes or is it no?
It can't be yes and no. Let's talk about the NFL MVP last year and Patrick Mahomes. Where'd he come from? Probably the most gimmicky college system there is, from Lubbock and Texas
Tech. He's a freak of nature.
Let's
put that out there.
He is a freak of nature.
He threw a no-look pass, man.
Exactly. He's throwing curveball passes.
I don't
passes.
Know that he's an anomaly. What I mean by that is when you're talking about elite players, we all become better by being in the better system. You're an elite linebacker, but I'm sure you may have been better in a 4-3 than a 3-4. Or maybe you were just a Hall of Famer in both. I don't know. You're a great guy.
Thank you.
But with that being said, players elevate based on the system. So I can't diminish a quarterback's potential because he's playing in a more favorable system. That's all I'm at.
So now you mentioned Patrick Mahomes, NFL MVP. Give me 3 more quarterbacks. Matter of fact, forget that. Give me 2.
Let me give you – Baker Mayfield had a solid year, and he was in a gimmicky system at OU. He for sure did. Mm. And I'll give you another one when we're off the air.
Exactly.
One thing that I've found interesting and that I honestly haven't heard discussed is the fact that this is for the 3rd consecutive year, Tua Tagovailoa is going to have a new offensive coordinator again.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how he develops under Steve Sarkisian. It'll be the 3rd time. It's crazy. So, you know, we all know what Oklahoma's system is. They've produced 2 consecutive Heisman winners who both also went number 1 in the draft.
Yep.
Who has the best system?
I have to say Oklahoma out the gate. I played against it, and I don't care if it was Lincoln Riley. I don't care if it was Bob Stoops. I don't care who they throw out there. Name a bad Oklahoma quarterback. Even Blake Bell, the belldozer, he still put up some numbers. Landry Jones, Sam Bradford, let's go old school with Jason White. Name a bad Oklahoma quarterback. That's why when people doubt Jalen Hurts, I call them foolish, because there hasn't been a bad OU quarterback. So I got to go with
Jalen's a dog. He's going to do just fine.
Thank you.
And I'm going to piggyback that, but from a different angle. I'm going to go with the offensive line. The offensive lines for Oklahoma, consistently dominant. consistently dominant. I'm not saying they're all first rounders, top picks. I'm saying that when you watch and you put on the film, you watch that offensive line, you're like, man, you see guards pull, you see tackles pull, you see 5 seconds in the pocket, you see not getting touched. And I'm like, wow, year in, year out, their offensive line play allows these quarterbacks to be great.
Honorable mention, Mike Leach.
My man is a pirate.
We had such a good conversation. You throw this.
Honorable mention.
Man,
I love it. All right, fellas, how about this for team bonding? I mean, look at those guys go. Look,
Marty, I'm jealous think of that. That is awesome.
Acho has a tremendous story about unique team building exercise coming up next.
College Football Live is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph. And State Farm. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM.
The ACC Network is coming August 22nd. Visit accn.com to check availability. If you don't see your provider listed, demand that they carry the ACC Network. Tomorrow on College Football Live, Miami head coach and former ESPN staffer Manny Diaz is in the house to preview his first season at the helm of that story program, for which the great Jonathan Vilma was an All-American. Now look at this. This is the Missouri Tigers getting their band performance in the locker room.
He has an umbrella, JV. Major has an umbrella.
Awesome.
They're ready for competition.
Oh, no question.
I mean, I love it.
He had never been in the band before, and then watch this.
I'm telling you, that's the part of the locker room atmosphere that I miss. That's the one part of the league or college that I miss.
100%. Well, you have to have stories then. What is a story that you can actually tell America about your favorite locker room ritual?
Look, my favorite bonding story is, and Manny Diaz actually instilled this, on that last Friday practice before you travel to the hotel, he'd get all the defense together and you got to freestyle. You got to come with at least a hot 8 bars, JV. Because you know, 2 bars don't count for nothing in this life. 2 bars don't count for nothing. You better spit at least 4 to 8 of them things.
Give us 8 real quick. No,
you're not putting me on the
floor.
Tune in tomorrow. How about that? I got 8 for you there.
That is College Football Live. Thanks for hanging out. We appreciate you. God bless college football.